Okay. Well, I had a talk in my head, you know, that I was going to give next month. And I thought, well, you know what? Since she called day for yesterday and said she couldn't make it, I thought, well, I'll just whip out a couple of notes and give it now. So it worked. That's going to work out fine. I'm going to ask a question to start with. And the question is, I'm going to ask you, just share with me just a few words in your own thoughts. What are feelings? I'm not saying list them, you know, they're like they used back when I was counseling, say mad, sad, glad, hurt, afraid, or ashamed. What are they metaphysically? Any ideas? It's a weird question, I know. Yes, dear.
They're manifestations of your thoughts.
Very interesting.
Manifestations of ego thoughts.
Could be. Keep going. Any ideas? What are thoughts? Yes. I mean feelings. Feelings. What are?
Manifestation of needs and desires.
Could you? Okay. And I'm going to say from a... And Raymond, you've got, okay, this could be the last talk that we give that we have to do this, because it's coming in at the end of this week. I can hardly wait. We've talked about the negative side, you know, where they can be manifestations of ego, such as when I'm angry, and I believe those tend to be based in fear. And on the other side, feelings, one time a thought came into my head that feelings, on the positive side, they're very ancient. It's a very ancient reality. It's part of our very, very distant past, where they're ancient teachers. They tell us things. If I'm walking somewhere and I get a weird feeling that tells me I need to be cautious, I don't know where that came from, but it came from somewhere. Or if I did not know about what an empath was, but I would be sitting and doing counseling, you know, which I did for 25 years. And I would be hearing, be with someone that was having an issue, and I would just get a sense, an awareness, that there was something that needed to be addressed. Or, I don't know where these feelings would come from. Or I would say something to someone and then a feeling would come to me and say, what you said resonated through that person and came back to you in a way that told me I maybe should not have said what I said, or it was hurtful to them. And am I talking about feelings here? Is this... It seems to me I am. But they're not sensory. It's not something that I saw or smelled or touched. So it seems to me that feelings are also an extrasensory way of being aware of our environment. And extremely important. I want to be aware of this extrasensory sensation that we as humans are capable of. And I look at animals. I look at, you know, my dogs and stuff, and they teach me so much, my bird. I learned a long time ago that birds, I've always had birds since I was 9 years old, that if a bird's on my shoulder and I just am walking around and I have a thought, you know, I need to put the bird in the cage, what happens?
He takes off.
Boom! Immediately. Of course it does. Every single time. 100%. You know? And I mean, and I spent years trying to figure out how I could have that thought of putting the bird up without the bird figuring it out. And I never could. That bird would be gone. Or, you know, I mean, animals know when there's going to be an earthquake. How do they know that? And we have lost that, many of us. Not all of us, but many of us have lost it. And I want to be aware of those sensations that are part of our feeling nature. Okay, imagine for a second a child that has recently been born. I'm going to say 6 months old. And you hold that child and you look at the child. What do you sense? What do you sense? Huh?
Trust.
Love.
Innocence.
Happiness. Joy. They just came into this world, and what are they bringing with them as they enter into this space, into this new realm? They are a manifestation of where we came from. Their beauty, their innocence, it's just there. It's perfect. It's amazing. You just get a sense of, like, the sense I get is, holy crap, this is who I could be. This is who I really am. But where did it go? You know?
I think a newborn has some sense before they're born.
Yeah. Before they lose it and they forget. Yeah. Before we forget. Sure, they're already there.
Yeah.
Well, then what happens? You know, they enter into all the dysfunction of family interaction, and they begin to pick it up, all the bullshit. Can I say that into the bullshit? Can I say that? Okay. well, that's what they do, you know? And it's sad. And we forget the beauty that we are. And we start to develop our own dysfunctions. We start to develop our own defenses that are absolutely necessary in order to survive the horror of the experience that we begin to grow through. It's not just, you know, it's just not you, Beverly, it's not you, Nancy, it's not, you know, it's not each, it's all of us. You know, I can look back and I know the dysfunction that I grew up with, a father who was tremendously violent, and abusive. Fortunately, a very loving mother who was turned, you know, quite codependent and tried to fix everything as opposed to setting boundaries, probably because she couldn't back in that age. It was not possible. And so here my sister, who ended up being sexually abused, and me, who ended up being physically abused, we developed our own suit of armor in order to survive the experience. And yet down in there, still within that, was the child, that innocent being that had entered into the world in perfection, but yet covered in a suit of armor that was absolutely necessary. And the things that happen as we grow through that are multiple. You know, the defenses can be many different kinds. I could withdraw into a little corner, and some do, to survive. Others become angry and act out that anger and, push everybody back. Get you everybody shoved back so that, basically, why do we develop those? We develop them because we don't want to get hurt anymore. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah. To some degree or another. I don't want to forget those defenses that I developed. I don't want to lose them. I don't want to get rid of them. Because there are times, even though I'm not in that war zone anymore because I've gotten myself out of it, I don't want to get rid of those defenses because there are times that they're necessary. Occasionally, once in a great while. Oh, once in a great while anymore. But I can remember I moved into a neighborhood, the Skeena area, and everybody that knows about that says, "Oh my God, you moved to the Skeena? You're a Skeena, right?" And it's a weird little place of you know about the Skeena area, don't you? And I'm right smack in the middle of it. Oh. Yeah, and here's Skeena writes it. Oh my God, the Skeena area! It was notorious, and it still is, for having some crazy kind of local folks that they can just, "Oh, you gotta go? See you, sweetie. Have a mission. Be successful." And it's changed a lot over the years. You know, it's much mellower, but some of the older people still are pretty wild. And I've had a couple of encounters there that I had to pull those old defenses out, And a couple of them I literally had to physically attack in order to save my dog's life. You know, a little bitty dog, one guy just meaner than hell, one said, I'm going to kill your dog, and reared back to kill him. And he would have had I not attacked him. Okay, so where did that ability to protect myself come from? I learned it as a teenager. I grew up gay in the early 70s. I mean, I had to learn how to run, And I did. A good runner. And I eventually had to stand up to my dad, and that's okay. I don't want to deny those, but I want to keep them in a suitcase that's locked until I'm ready for them. Why do I want to keep them in that suitcase instead of wearing them all the time?
They're a distraction.
Huh?
A distraction?
Exhausting.
The truth is,
you probably can't, and that's okay.
There's certain things that I have, but I get angry. But when I'm angry, it's angry at me.
Yeah, okay.
And I can detect it in others, but I'm sorry if I do it.
It's there. If I if a person were to wear a suit of armor 24/7, they would eventually shrivel up and die inside that armor. It is extremely destructive to maintain a defense posture continuously. So we eventually have to learn how to take it off. And once you do, you realize how truly strong you really are. That you didn't need it, or you don't need it anymore. You don't need those defenses. You are a strong, powerful individual in your own right. But until you get that armor off, your skin doesn't suddenly harden anymore. You know, and you learn that survival can be beautiful walking freely without those defenses. And then what I have realized is once I get those sudden impulsive defenses put away, that my ability to feel again comes back. I can sense what is around me. I can sense those subtle realities that are really extrasensory, because I'm available to that again. It's not blocked by my defenses. Are you following me? Am I making sense? Okay. I don't know where I first heard this, one of the psychology classes somewhere, where somebody got on the board and they wrote S-O-M. And it was wait a minute, it wasn't S-O-M. No, I wrote that down. It was S-O-R. Okay, click. All right, it was S-O-R. And it was a sensory experience, an input. And then the O was the organism. And I don't buy that anymore. And then there was an R, which is our response. There's a sense. I get an input. Somebody says something to me or have some input. And then the R is I react or respond, okay? But first, they said, wait a minute, there's the O, and they call it organism. The sense, and then I process it, and then I respond, okay? And I went, okay, so what's this O? What's this organism? And I asked him, I got a really junky answer, it didn't make any sense. And I started to think about it. Wait a minute, the O is that spiritual capacity within each one of us that can put a time out between what I sense and my action afterward, how I choose to respond. So that O, I get a sense. If I can, the longer I can make that space where I am in a timeless spot, where I can process what I perceive and then act as opposed to react, then I have entered a spiritual space in my reality. I am then in charge of my own behavior. It isn't knee-jerk reaction. It's not an impulsive act. Because impulsivity, if I get rid of that O, or what I would call the spiritual space of entering in before I choose to act, if I don't do that, then I'm a slave to whoever is giving me the input. They are controlling my behavior because I allow it. Yeah, I'm a victim. I know people that have gone through, my sister, bless her heart, she went through her whole life reacting to my father's violence. And at the end, when he was nearly dead, and I was there at the bedside, you know, talking to him and being with him, she was infuriated at me because I didn't reject him. So what that was she was still controlled by her anger. Is that, are you following me? Okay. So she wasn't able to take that space of entry into spirit before she acted. The actions were reactions, which meant control. And I see that constantly, where our behavior is still controlled by our past experiences. So there isn't any longer the ability to choose. Am I making sense? Okay. And you see that when you see that, when you see either, the many ways people either still holding back and they're still acting in fear, they're either real shy or they're real impulsive, you know, and but I think our goal as a spiritual being is to be able to go back and look at what it is in the past that still might be controlling our behavior, which means we are not free. We are no longer, we aren't yet the free being that we were when we entered this earth as that child. I want to remember that. I want to remember who that was that came into the world and still, as an adult, be able to have that suitcase that's back there I could get if I need those defenses, but be free of them otherwise. Yeah, it was back then, their fault. Total control, being controlled. I have no idea what I was going to talk about now. Let's see, la la la. Okay, since we're the Spiritual Light Center and we're not here just to talk about psychology, what's the spirituality of being able to be free of the defenses that I needed to survive as a child? What's the spiritual benefit of that? Any idea? Yes, ma'am.
You're no longer identifying with these fleeting things like fear or anger. It's more a realization of our true divine.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, excellent. Any other thoughts?
I think that when you're having feelings of hurt, anger, any of those feelings, that they block the ability for spirit to come through and see you and allow you to see the real situation or what's really going on. At least they do for me.
You just quoted my next paragraph. Exactly.
I'm an intern.
Yes, you are, darling.
So, and the other thing, Bill, for me, and I'll give you an example. For me, feelings come from all of my experiences, both in the past and the future, but also they come from all of my sensory input, hearing, visual, and as I've had some hearing problems, I found that I perceive things differently. And an example is, I look at that arrangement, and I love it because I love the colors, I love the arrangement, and I don't have to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, when I look at that, it brings me joy. Mm-hmm. Yet there are people who cannot tolerate artificial flowers. So when they look at that, all they want to do is to change it. Or to, you know, so what brings me joy may not bring somebody else joy. And so I think that when you perceive something, it goes through that filter.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, the more and more you let go, the less of a filter there is. You just accept it.
Right.
That's when spirit can come through.
And I, yeah, as a, we're all, I mean, you guys do some medium stuff on your own, but you would know that's you have to have a pretty clear channel or it ain't going to work. You know, I have to, right? Yeah. And if you're sitting there all pissed off about something that happened 30 years ago, it ain't going to work. If I am simply wanting to be open to spirit, whatever that may be, and in whatever manner you may be gifted, as we all are, that openness is only going to be there if I have cleared my window of the hurts and the defenses and the frustrations and the impulsivity and the reactions that were part of the pattern that I developed in order to survive childhood. And childhood is tough. Adolescence is horrific. Imagine the innocent child entering into this space and having to go through all that when they're still innocent. That's not, we all look back and we all had that. But now we are spiritual people as adults who are seeking to clean that window and be free and be who we are meant to be once again, remembering, opening. So what I'm going to ask us to do, let's just take a moment and be silent. And what I'm going to ask you to think about, to meditate upon, who would you be with your own unique gifts and personality if you could manifest the beauty and the absolute innocence within which you entered this world? And for each one of us, it's unique because we are unrepeatable manifestations of the divine. So let's just take a moment. Who would you be as you are if you could utterly and truly manifest that innocent beauty within which you entered this world? And so we are.